do serve a mighty God. Amen. A few quick announcements. We will be having church this coming Sunday morning, 10:30, pre-service prayer, 1 hour before. Come join with us. It's going to be a wonderful time. Every time in the Lord's house is a wonderful time. Amen. And then looking forward to October the 4th, that's a Saturday, we're going to have a ministry meeting here at the church at 10 a.m. There'll be coffee and refreshments, and we're going to get together. We're just going to visit and be discipled about ministry and how to reach people, how to share just practical, basic things, spiritual things. We're going to cover an array of things that will help you to minister. You know that we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. Amen? Every one of us is called to spread the gospel. We have the Great Commission upon us. So let's plan for that October the 4th. That's a Saturday morning here at the church at 10 a.m. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to share a message tonight on the fact that truth matters. You know that truth is the basis or the foundation of life. You know, if you look in your Bible, depending on which translation, you'll find that the word truth, just the word truth, not any variation of the word, but the word truth is mentioned over 220 times. God places a lot of emphasis on truth. It's the standard or the baseline, like I said, the foundation for life. And how many just can appreciate the truth? You know, man is always in search of the truth. And I love the honesty that is in young children. How about you? You know, most of them, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, children start out pretty honest. They just ask these honest questions. They just speak the truth. They haven't been corrupted yet by their parents. Amen? And so there's something honest about them, and I got such a kick out of Caleb. Here, several weeks ago, we were at the outreach, and I told Cody, I said, this would be a sermon illustration one day. But we were there in the back, and Caleb was playing with Josie, and there were many other kids, and I don't know exactly what went down, but something happened, and Josie was crying, and she was telling her mom that Caleb did something to her, you know. And so Cody was going to investigate. So he went, and he went up to Caleb, and he's just there. He's honest. He's, what is he, about 4 or 5 years old? Just 5 years old, all boy, just full of everything. I love him. And so Cody begins to talk to him, and he's just like, Caleb, did you hit Josie? And he looks up, and he's like, no. I kissed her. Just completely honest. And I think Aurora was there as well. And we both had to just look away and hide our laughter because it was just so cute. It was so honest. No, I didn't hit her. I kissed her. And I want to tell you tonight that truth has an intrinsic or an inherent value. Truth has value all on its own. It stands alone. Those words intrinsic or inherent, they simply mean that truth is valuable simply because it is truth. It's valuable because of what it is. Truth doesn't require external factors to make it valuable. In comparison, oil is valuable today because it has so many uses. We use it for all kinds of things. Oil wouldn't be valuable except that we use it in everything. Truth is not like that. Truth is valuable just because it is. Its truth stands alone. And the reason why it's so valuable is because God is truth. And God owns all truth. And that standard comes forth from Him. And He puts something in the heart of man that desires truth. Humans desire truth and trust from other humans. Nobody naturally says, I want a marriage built on lies. Nobody says that. Nobody says, I'm going to go meet somebody and I don't care what they really are. I don't want to know the truth about their background. I just want them to tell me really good lies and I'm just going to marry them and we're going to live happily ever after. Nobody in their right mind asks for that. But that is what happens sometimes, isn't it? Nobody says, I want to be deceived. Nobody says, just deceive me, except for the one song that says, tell me sweet little lies, right? Nobody says that. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, the Bible says that God is not a man that he could lie or that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Question mark. The scripture is saying here that God is not a man. He can't lie. It's not in his nature. God, every word that comes out of the mouth of God is true.
Amen.
And his power and his life. And so he says here, he says, does God make a promise that he doesn't fulfill? You know, man's life is full of broken promises. Man makes promises all the time that he never keeps. Sometimes he tries to keep them and he can't. Other times I believe he has no intentions of keeping them. I'll change. I promise I'll be different this time. I promise I'll get it right this time. I promise things are going to be different. And man makes promises and he fails and he fails. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3, 4, he said, let God be true and every man a liar. This was a proclamation. It was a call to acknowledge that God is inherently truthful and faithful.
Amen.
It was a call proclaiming that God cannot lie, that God speaks the truth, that if the Lord's mouth is moving, then truth is coming out. We know that Jesus equals truth. We find in John chapter 14, verse 6 through 7, and Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Satan, on the other hand, the Bible calls him or describes him as the father of lies. We can read in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, you belong to your father, this is Jesus speaking, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we see here this contrast between God the Father, really the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit versus the devil. We know that God cannot lie. We know that everything that God says, everything that comes out of his word is truth and life. And we know that everything that comes from Satan is a lie. The Bible says there is no truth in him. Now, that doesn't stop him from taking and twisting truth. That doesn't take him from trying to exploit truth. There's a lot of people that will mix in a little bit of truth with a lot of garbage to destroy people's lives, to manipulate, to lie, to control, to abuse, and to hurt people. The devil's been at it a long time. So there's this endless battle between the truth and lies, between honesty and deception, between transparency and darkness. And you see this play out over and over again in the lives of men and women, all recorded all through the Bible, all the way from Cain and Abel, before that, with Eve. With Adam and Eve coming forward, we see this battle, this tug of war. There's something imprinted on our hearts because we're made in the image of God that desires truth. But there's this fallen, broken nature inside of us that is constantly susceptible to Satan's deceit, to lies, to twisting, to hiding things. And sadly, our culture has become very comfortable with lies. The day we live in, pretty much almost anything somebody says, there's probably a 50-50 chance that it's a lie. Sadly, very sad, but true. The lie has become acceptable. It's become the norm. We see it everywhere, don't we? We see it in the media constantly. We see it in our politicians constantly. One is just passionately proclaiming bold-faced lies on national TV. Another one is claiming the exact opposite. And it can get difficult to discern the truth sometimes. Lies have become so common. We see it on the job. People lie constantly. It's a knee-jerk reaction. And When I say lie, I'm not just talking about speaking verbal lies. You know, there are other ways that we lie. We lie with false emotions. We lie with false intentions. We have pretenses. We push forward one thing while inside we're thinking or doing or acting totally different. Or it's how we paint something. Maybe it's 75% true, but there's just that 25% that has our own spin on it. The lie. We call that a white lie, don't we? So we've come up with all kinds of things to justify, to put frosting on lives. We see it in every part of life. I saw a video of a lady here just recently, and she was driving this car. She had rented this car, and she's driving along down this two-lane highway with basically no shoulder, just a bar ditch. And I mean, she's going down there, and I mean, she is full out texting, looking straight down. Up for a second, then texting. And there's a moment she takes both hands off the wheel. I mean, completely. I don't know if she had her knees on the wheel or what, but she's just both hands looking down, texting. Well, she goes into a ditch. She crashes, she knocks out a mailbox, crashes the car, and just begins to lie and say all these different things that caused the wreck. Unbeknownst to her, it was all on camera. And she sits there after she wrecks and she screams like a lunatic. She just screamed like the car crashed itself. But she had no problem just lying to the owner, lying to the insurance company, lying. But she was found out. So we see it all the time. Criminals will lie. They'll be on camera committing the act, and yet they'll plead not guilty. We see it in the justice system. And sadly, even Christians many times will practice a lifestyle of deceit, a lifestyle of lying. How many have ever heard things like this? I didn't mean what I said. Really? The Bible says, remember, truth. Remember? The Bible is truth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So by you saying, I didn't mean it, you're lying again. Because if you didn't mean it, you wouldn't have said it. Now, you might say, that's hard. It's not my words. The Word of God. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But we say things, we fight, we fly off, we yell, we scream, we cuss, we do things, and we say, I didn't mean what I said. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. So on and so forth. And we tell these things, and so we can fall into this trap of being Christian liars. You know, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not what? Amen. So it's a serious issue. And I'll tell you this, that the more you lie, the easier it becomes. We begin to make excuses for dishonesty. We begin to grade our lies. I talked about white lies a moment ago. We begin to justify our lies. Well, I can't tell them the truth because it'll hurt them too much. I have to lie to protect them. Dangerous. Dangerous. Again, a culture of endless lying. But you know what? God teaches us differently. God teaches us to overcome. God teaches us to be truthful. And I want to tell you something, that liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And God desires truth because truth brings forth righteousness. Truth brings forth goodness. God functions in our lives when truth is applied. God applies truth to our lives. We can either be reconciled to it, or we can go our own way. We have to go against the grain of our society. Kim Delana said this, a deacon sent in his apologies for the Sunday morning service, claiming that he was ill with the flu. One of the church members, however, said he had seen the deacon on his way to a baseball game. After the service, the minister visited the deacon. Brother, he said, I have information that you were not sick at all this morning, but went to watch a ball game. And the deacon protested and was angry. That's a vicious lie about me. I'll show you the fish I caught to prove it. Funny little story, but all too true. What I'm trying to tell you is that every person in this room is susceptible to falling into a deceitful or a lying nature. And the scariest thing is when we do it and we don't even know it. So I'm going to just give you quickly just three things about truth. Number one, I think it's so important to be truthful with yourself, to be honest about your true spiritual condition, the condition of your soul. Don't be deceived by your own heart. This is a dangerous place to be. When people believe their own lies, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. And they don't know the truth, and it's exhausting to deal with them and talk to them. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The Bible tells me that I can be deceived, and I have been deceived by my own heart. That's why we so desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I'll get to that more here in a moment. But to help us, to convict us, to draw us, to bring forth truth, because it's really hard on our own to be truthful. But we have to be serious, we have to be intentional about being truthful, being honest with ourselves. You know, after salvation, God begins to work character in our lives. He begins to change us. He begins to help us. And we begin to be set on this course of reconciliation. Reconciliation to God's word and truth. To be reconciled means that I conform to God's word. It means I bring myself into agreement with God's books. I bring myself into agreement with God's word and God's truth. So there's some things in me that have to be adjusted. There's some things in me that have to be changed. There's some things in me that have to be put to death. The Bible says put to death the works of the flesh. And so we embark on this lifestyle of reconciliation, and I think the closer we get to God, the better this gets, because we get to a place where we begin to just hunger truth more than anything. We begin to hunger after just being right and being sincere and honest before the Lord. But there can be battles where we have to bring ourselves to a place of honesty so that we can repent, so that we can be made whole. King David understood this. There was a time when he lived in his own deception. He believed his own self-righteous lies. He was deceived in his own heart, just like the Bible shows us and teaches us, and he was not living in God's truth. He was not living according to God's light, according to God's word. And you know the story, the prophet comes and he confronts him, and David's eyes are opened, thankfully. His eyes are open and he sees his truth. He sees God's truth, and he's broken. And you know how I know he's really broken? Because he doesn't first go to Bathsheba and say, "Sorry, I had an affair with you. I had your husband killed." He doesn't go and say sorry to those people. Yes, people will be hurt when you function in dishonesty. It's true. But your first offense is against God. And so how I know that David's heart was broken and how David truly saw who he was and what he had done is because the first thing out of his mouth, he said, "I have sinned against God." You know, some of you need a revelation tonight that when you sin, you're not sinning against people. Yes, you hurt people. You can hurt people. We all have, if we're honest. We all have. We've all been hurt, and we've all hurt others. But we don't sin against people. We sin against God. And that's the ultimate offense, because he gave his son. He watched his son be crucified for our sin and for our forgiveness. So David says, he comes to this place of honesty and reconciliation, and he says, "I have sinned against God." He cries out, "Create in me a clean heart." He begins to pour his heart out, and he begins to be reconciled before the Lord. He's praying. He's seeking God. You know that ultimately, if we don't deal with our own dishonesty, we will be isolated. You know hell is going to be a lonely place. The Bible says that you're going to be alone. You're going to be in torment. You're going to be forever separated from the presence of God. The fire is not going to be the worst thing. The separation and the absolute zero presence of God anywhere is going to be unbearable. And it's going to be anguish forever. The Bible says that the rebellious dwell alone in a parched or a dry land. So it's so important that we be honest with ourselves. Psalms chapter 51 verse 6 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom." Now, it's one thing to quote scripture. It's one thing to read Psalm 51 verse 6 and know that God desires truth. I think we all can acknowledge that here tonight, that God desires truthfulness in our hearts. What is that truthfulness? Well, he desires a truthfulness in our attitude towards him, a truthfulness in our worship, a truthfulness in our prayer, a truthfulness in our deeds, in our conduct, a truthfulness among human relationships. God, that's what God desires. God desires truth in the inward parts. He didn't say, "I desire truth on the outward. As long as you can sell it, it's all good." That's not what it says. People are selling it all over the world, and they're no more truthful on the inside than the devil himself. Amen? God says he desires truth in the inward part. So it's one thing to know that. It's another thing to desire what God desires. And here's why I think people fail so many times. They know the scripture. They can see the fruit of their sin. They can see the damage that they cause. They can see the damage that sin and lifestyle, sin brings brokenness. It brings destruction. And so they want out of that. They don't want to experience that. They want to get out of that pain, out of that suffering, out of those symptoms. But they never come to the place where they desire what God desires. You know, part of running the race of Christianity is we don't pick the race. God picks the track. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race." When a runner joins a marathon, he doesn't decide, "I'm going to run my 26 point whatever miles this way and that way and this way and that way." No, he has to go on the predetermined course for the race. God has predetermined the course. God has a plan. He has a direction. And so we will always struggle. We will always battle. We will always falter and struggle as long as we are not desiring what God desires. God desires that we finish the race. Until we get to that place where God's desires are the most important thing to us, what happens? We continue along the same course, along the same path. And we struggle with the same things over and over again. And I believe the root of this is that we're in a place of blindness, a place of spiritual blindness, a place of darkness where we're deceived by our own selves. And so tonight, we need to get to a place where we desire truth in the inward parts more than anything else. Oh, it's painful sometimes. It's hard to look in the mirror. But you know what? It is life. Amen. When you look in the mirror and God shows you something, and God says, "You know what? I'm not showing you that so I can mock you. I'm not showing you that so I can kick you. I'm showing you that because I want to deliver you from that. I want to show you a way out. I don't want to leave you the same. I don't want your family to suffer with you. I don't want you to suffer with you. I don't want your coworkers to suffer. I don't want people to not hear the gospel because you are bound up with you. I want to bring you out. I want to bring you into a place of productivity, a place of fruitfulness." That's why God has us look in the mirror. It's a good thing. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is a blessing. It's a safety net. It's our life. And God does it as a father, as a gentle and a loving father. Why was Cody correcting Caleb in my simple example in the beginning? Why? Because he doesn't want him to be a person who beats on women when he grows up. He wants the best for Caleb. Isn't that right? The heart of a father reaches down and takes those uncomfortable steps to deal with a child, to bring correction, to spank, to deal with them. Why? So that they can be helped. So that they can be made whole. So they can be made mature. So that they can be a blessing. So that they can know God. The second thing is that we need to be truthful with the Holy Spirit and men. And I've stayed too long on point number one. So I'm just going to give you the reference, Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. You can go through and read this. When I read this portion of scripture, it's about Ananias and Sapphira. It makes me shudder. One part in there where Peter says, He says, they sold a piece of land, and they said, we sold it for this. But really, they had sold it for a higher number. And so they lied. You know the story. But he says to them, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Basically, he says, it was your property. You could have done anything you wanted. You could have given $5. You could have given $10. There was no obligation. He says, but you have not lied to men. You have lied to God. Very sobering, very scary words. It says, and Ananias heard these words. Hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. You know, when you fail to get honest with yourself, you will ultimately, this is the danger, you will certainly be dishonest with men and women. And you will probably be dishonest with the Holy Spirit at some point. Oh, it may not be direct verbal lying to the Holy Spirit, but God knows the intentions. God knows the intentions when you come to the altar. God knows the intentions. He sees the heart. And this is why it's so important that we be sincere. And my last point concerning the truth, concerning truth in general, is that the truth, God, the truth will set you free. You see, lies bind you. Lies blind you. Okay? The devil uses lies to bind you. He tells you lies, and they bind you up. You'll never change. Nobody loves you. You'll always be this way. He lies to you, and he binds you up. It's like throwing cords around your neck. And he leads you around with those lies. So the more you believe the devil's lies, the more bound you are. And here's another thing. The devil will use you to lie, and those also bind you. When you are lied to by the devil, and when you lie for the devil, you become bound. There's two different levels of being bound there. But you become bound. The saying goes, oh, what tangled webs we weave when we practice to deceive. So the devil will bind you through his lies and through using you and making you into a deceitful and a dishonest person. But Jesus came in John chapter 8, verse 31, and he said, if you hold to my teaching and you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, which is Jesus. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 16, verse 12, talks about sending the Holy Spirit, and he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. If we get to know Jesus, if we get to know the Holy Spirit, if we draw close to those gentlemen, we will defeat lies in our life. He says we'll be set free. He says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus will set you free. He's the one and only that can set us free from anything. On our own, except for the grace of God, I'm headed straight to hell. Except for the grace of God, I'm a liar, I'm a murderer, I'm all these things. But for the grace of God, I can change. He has given the tools, he has given his sacrifice, he has given his blood, he has sent the Holy Spirit to set us free, to break every curse, to break every chain. Won't we be truthful? Won't we be honest with the Lord and allow him to work miracles and change our lives so that we can finally go out and speak the truth? That's the full circle. That we go out and we use our mouths, not for the devil, not for tearing down, but we use our mouths for building up, for bringing in. This is the goal. This is the prize. This is the joy. To speak life, to speak truth, to be a part of that process of reconciling not only your own self, but reconciling other men and women to the Lord and seeing their lives change. That's God's plan. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.